Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, we begin a series of programs on a common springtime subject, and that's romance. And today's program is intended primarily for you women, but I encourage my fellow males to eavesdrop. We just might learn some powerful information about that gender we so wholeheartedly admire, love, and enjoy. And to begin, let me ask you ladies a few questions. If you're over 40 and single, widowed, or divorced, are you convinced there simply are no more good unattached men out there? Are you a highly successful woman who has bounced from one unsatisfying relationship to another, not finding that one you want to spend the rest of your life with? Have you been married to the same man for the past 20 years, but the fun and passion are long gone from your marriage? Have you been living more like an inmate than a soulmate? And the fourth question, your marriage remains warm and passionate, but you're tired of being the junior partner. Do you continue to sacrifice your life goals and ambitions for your husband or maybe your children? Isn't it high time you move up to full senior partner? Well, if you answered yes to any of these four questions, or you know someone who has, you've tuned into the right program, because my first guest today, Rome, is on a mission to help other women live more passionate, self-confident, and fulfilling lives. And Rome is an author, poet, and personal advisor whose passion is to, quote her, to inspire dreams. She's originally from Cape Town, South Africa, but she divorced her first husband and moved to Finland, and over the past 14 years, she has come to realize her dream and put value into what was most important in her life, as she puts it, and she describes her current marriage as the consistency of love, passion, and teamwork, the epiphany of what her message and her brand stands for, and she's author of several books, including Memories of the Heart, Teamwork Makes the Dream Work, and Catching Charlotte, Love is a Million Little Things. And hello, Romy, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Hello, Roy, and thanks for having me.
Well, to begin, tell us a little about your personal experience. How are you able to recover from what you describe as a disastrous union to end up in a passionate, sharing relationship you're in now? Was it blind good fortune, or did you undergo a profound inner makeover before you sought out a new relationship?
I love that. I love the way you put it. But, Roy, frankly, we are mature adults.
Yeah.
And my mission is for women to realize, take responsibility seriously. This is your life.
Yeah.
This is all about how you want to live.
Yeah.
Nobody is going to make that choice or that action for you. It is something you have to take. So it's time that we as mature women realize there is no more women sitting at home. Rarely. We have to go out and we have to partner up with being a team at home. Two people in support.
Yeah.
It is very, very rare that women have that luxury of staying at home. I mean, we're the average person, so we have to take responsibility in bringing our part. But in the same race, we get lost. We as women, we're the ones that get lost because we sacrifice everything we have. So seriously, it is time that we realize this is our life. We are responsible for the way we want to live, so start taking control.
Yeah. Do you find that too many women in established marriages rely too much on their husbands to define their self-worth? I bet that probably is a problem with a lot of women. And as you say, you've got to take primary responsibility for your own destiny, I guess.
Yes, but it comes down to the blame game.
Yeah.
You know, women use situations as, this is the situation I'm stuck in. Why on earth would you want to be stuck in a relationship? No wonder you're unhappy.
Yeah.
I am you. I were there. I know how you feel.
Yeah.
I know what you're going through.
Yeah.
And I know that pit. I know that dark hole that you sit in. So it is time that you crawl out of there and realize that you are an individual that should be living your life.
Yeah.
And stop this blame game, because you cannot constantly using the excuse of, I have a family, I have a job, I have responsibilities, I cannot take care of myself. But
yeah.
Then what happened to you if you have to be everyone else's savior and take care of everyone else's emotions and feelings, and you get lost in the process? So stop.
Yeah,
seriously, stop.
That's such a good point. Well, as indicated in your promotional material, before searching for Mr. Right or reigniting a sagging marriage, a woman needs to know, as you put it, who she is, what she wants, and what she needs. But how do you suggest that a frustrated lady of middle age launch her personal journey of discovery? How do you move from where you are now to where you want to be and determine where you want to be?
Roy, I'd like to ask you a question.
Certainly.
What do you think of yourself?
I think I'm great.
Absolutely. My sentiments, exactly. Women have to start looking at themselves in the mirror.
Yeah.
And look at their image, because if you stare at your reflection in the mirror, you are staring at your own competition.
Yeah.
You are staring at the reflection, and it's time that you face that reality.
Yeah.
Start making the decision to become a more accomplished person,
yeah,
in being your own complement first.
Yeah.
To take care of well-being first. Now, I know I had so many women that spoke to me and say, but I look at your picture and you're so pretty. Please, just please. I used to clean my face at home. I used sugar and honey and I scrubbed my face.
Yeah.
You have tea at home. You make tea and you make coffee and you use honey and you use things like this in your kitchen every day. It's little things that we have to start with in self-preservation.
Yeah.
Take care of self-image first.
Yeah.
Do little things. If you have a rash, if you have little pimples or whatever on your face. We have baking soda. For crying out loud, we women that take care of our families, we bake, we cook.
Yeah.
Take baking soda with a little of water and scrub your face.
Yeah.
So women have to start looking at their image and get real about who they are and stop comparing themselves to someone else or what
Amen.
Someone else perceives they should look like. You are you.
Yeah.
You are the beautiful you. So get the self-confidence and start cleansing mind and
yeah.
body.
Well, let's say at middle age, for whatever reason, you resigned yourself to being boring, physically unattractive, and fearful of new relationships, especially with men. What can you do to become that real you and to shake off that negative self-image?
You have to start becoming your own beautiful self first. Starting with your own self-image.
Yeah.
And it is little things that we can do to enhance that. You don't have to look like the model. You don't have to look like the boring girl next door. It's
yeah.
changing your hair color.
Yeah.
It's making sure you dress up for a date and start inventing, start creating, start being a better you. That's the ideal, is that you improve, because we're not 20 anymore.
Yeah.
So we cannot be that size 0 and that size 2 anymore. We are children.
Yeah.
But if you start with little exercise, walking, running, in the winter time, I live in Finland, it's long winters.
Yeah.
I run the stairs or I walk the stairs in our building. But
yeah.
we have to move to get the blood pressure up,
yeah.
to get the body in motion. But it is an action that you as a woman have to take responsibility for. It
yeah,
is little things. And,
I love
you know,
the way you say not to compare yourself with anyone else, because who cares what, you know, some television movie star looks like? You want to be the new improved you.
I don't. I live for me. I want to look like me. I want to feel like I'm me. Because any women, I mean, look how much we have today to enhance ourselves. So any women have no excuse.
Yeah.
In saying that I cannot improve myself, because that's the purpose of our lives, that we live. We live it. I don't have this idea in my head that I'm getting old or I have to think about old age, because for me, I took the decision to take care of my appearance.
Yeah.
I have a much younger husband. Why? Because when he met me, he didn't see an old, dragged-down, tired lady. He saw a confident, beautiful, self-assured woman.
Yeah. Well, I was... That kind of brings me to a related point, but say you are a highly successful woman who in recent years has dedicated most of your time and energy to career, and you've succeeded, and you want to change that and bring romance into your life, but most men you go out with or meet are intimidated by your success. What if you're very successful? What do you do to attract men who are self-confident, passionate, and willing to treat you as a full-life partner?
Balance. Every man loves the little girl. Every man.
Yeah.
You can stand on your head and say, oh, no, my husband doesn't like little girls. Every man likes a little girl.
That's
in your boardroom, in your business, in your career, I'm a career woman.
Yeah.
But I do my job. I do my job amazingly well. I work very hard, long hours.
Yeah.
But you need balance. You need to recreate. And you need to think of the most important things and get rhythm.
Yeah.
You need to balance your life, that work is work.
Yeah.
And when you're home, you go home to a man that you can be a little girl to.
Yeah.
Forget everything at work. Because women, when they become powerful, the most important thing for them to talk about is their career. They want men to see that they this accomplished woman. But a man can see that anyway. He can see it anyway if you show your beautiful self first.
Yeah.
Show that you're a woman first.
Yeah.
Because for me, I prefer being a woman than wearing a pants. Why on earth would I want to wear the pants? I'm a pretty girl.
Yeah.
So women should remember that they are girls, because men are looking for girls. They want to see that little girl. Show
him
that you saw a woman in there.
In these days and times, it's so unusual for me to even see a woman out there wearing a skirt or a dress. They're all in pantsuits.
But you see, they take that mentally. They take that mentally because Roy... I can walk in a restaurant or I can walk in a coffee shop and I can wear a stunning suit and it would be a pants and a blazer.
Yeah.
But I will still show you how feminine I am because I wear high heels with them.
Yeah, no, that's true. I'm not knocking that. I just say it's so unusual.
But that's the idea, because they take it mentally. They want to wear the pants literally. Please, don't get me wrong. I'm living in a country where the woman is most empowered. They want to show that they're empowered, they're in control. So they forget to be women. And then what? They look at me and they wonder why all their men is running after me. Why? I walk in the shop in a pair of jeans and a high heels and my hair is floating. And I hardly wear any makeup, but everybody calls me Kaunis Nainen in Helsinki. Because Kaunis Nainen means beautiful woman. It's because men sense that gracious, feminine, you know, atmosphere that you give off, that aura, that energy as a woman that you give off, a man can sense that. But if you come across this brute, strong, powerful woman, I mean, he feel like you have competition right now.
Yeah. Well, actually, the kind of man that you would want to attract would be somebody that wasn't intimidated, that wants to treat you as a full life partner anyway. So
exactly. My husband had zero idea that I was an author. Zero.
Always. Yeah.
His family was even laughing when I said, oh, I write books. Because I was so much of a girl. I had energy and I was bouncing all over the place. Because my mum always used to say that, you know, I should pop a pill and calm down. Because I had always so much energy. So for me, it's not surprising that my husband is younger, because it's the energy that I dissolve. Yeah. It's the energy that as a woman you have to work on getting control of, and that comes with balance. Because if we reconstruct our lives and we really think about rhythm, how to create your spaces, yeah, so that you have time together and you are able to have time that you can withdraw and you can be alone. But yeah, if you are with a man, that's time together. So yeah, you want to give you, forget the job. The man's in any case going to learn what you do.
Yeah.
But when a man is attracted to the woman that gives, you want to feel that she's giving herself. So just give yourself. It worked for me.
Yeah. Well, how
it
old
really
is
did.
Too old for passionate love in a physical relationship as a senior?
Oh, you never. Oh,
must,
Roy, no,
must
stop
we resign
it.
Ourselves
no,
to
no,
a warm platonic
it.
Companionship?
No, you're never too old to fall in love. Never.
Yeah, that's
you're
good.
You're never too old to fall in love. You can fall in love at any age. Seriously. Because, you know, it depends on you as a person, as an individual. Remember, yeah, I asked you, what do you think of yourself? So if you see yourself this beautiful, confident person,
yeah,
why are you not capable of love? We are able to all love. And that, you know, catching Charlotte.
Yeah.
Is the encouragement of we had overcome past, we had outgrown our mistakes, and
yeah,
we had overcome this mental unsettlement of abuse and this mindset that we are nothing or less. So stop thinking so little of yourself, because
yeah,
we had overcome all that.
That's
and,
wonderful.
You know,
look, rather than blame yourself for something you did wrong in the past, you look at the positive and say, look at how much I've learned from past mistakes and how I've matured and how I've gained in self-confidence since then, so that now I'm capable of moving forward successfully, even if I wasn't in the past. I love that.
Exactly.
That way of looking at things.
Exactly. Because at any age, you could be passionate. And I've proven that. I've become a much more relaxed person. I've overcome the anger. I've overcome the bitterness. I've been divorced, a place that I never ever thought I would be in. So I place myself in that position where every woman stands, because you don't think when you get married you're going to get a divorce. You don't think things is going to go wrong, because we plan our lives, or we think that everything is structured the way we think they're going to work out in the long run.
Yeah.
But things change in life. Things evolve. You know, everything in life can change at any time. We live in a world that is so unsettled. So we have to be structured individuals.
Yeah.
We have to become complete individuals so that we are able to share our lives with someone else, and especially with a family. If you don't have much to give of yourself, how do you take care of someone else?
Amen.
How do we provide and give love and share emotions to someone else? So that completeness, it should be a celebration of you able to give and become a better lover. And the book is from Catching Charlotte, from beginning to end. It's from dramatic past, where we are now, that we had overcome. And now we at a place where we can love, because we are far more relaxed. And you know, Roy, how many young people I meet, and I'm more interested in a matured relationship, because matured people are calmer.
Yeah.
They're much calmer.
That's
because
good.
They had overcome the hassle, disturbance, and destructive life. So they are far more perceptive to be relaxed into life. So it's the willingness to let go. Let go of the past and just start living. And with memories of the heart, it's a complete celebration.
Yeah,
a complete
that's so much
celebration.
Like our message that at middle age you combine the enthusiasm of youth, which you
mm-hmm.
don't have to give up, with a maturity of, 20 years or whatever of life, adult experience. And it's a great combination if you appreciate that, what you've learned, and apply
exactly.
it going forward. But don't give up on life and don't think
exactly,
it's all
behind. Exactly, because
you
as a balanced person, you're actually stronger.
Yeah.
You're actually stronger and you're more able to inspire others because your ability is more evolved if you're more matured. But it's taking that action that you don't let go of yourself in thinking, like, I don't deserve love anymore. I've been in a divorce. I've been through the hurdles. But we all need love.
Yeah.
So the best thing for us is to really rediscover ourselves and what we need. What we need, because we are far more sober-minded now to know exactly what we need.
Yeah.
So when you do meet someone, you know if this person fits into what you need for your life going ahead. And
You know what you're looking for before you rush into something. Makes so much sense. Well, you've spent, let's talk about a couple of scenarios that are common at middle age. Let's say you've spent the last 28 years or whatever of married life catering to the wishes of your husband and three children, but now your offspring are grown, your husband's still wrapped up in his career, and you feel bored and unappreciated. How do you first rediscover your passion in life and then convince your husband that he should now treat you as a full equal partner, pursuing your dreams and sharing mundane household duties and each of you sacrificing for the other? How do you convince your husband that you are indeed equal to him at this point and you have your own dreams?
Okay, I'll share a few tips. If you reshape your thinking, if we start with reshaping our thinking, because I have a grown son myself, so they no longer need us. They become independent individuals.
Yeah.
So you have to start reshaping your thinking and refine these motives of behavior, how you need to change, and realize the importance of how you have to change.
Yeah.
Because life has evolved. So now you have to readapt to new things. So basically seeing yourself and envision how you can now better yourself, be a better you. And really it's time to start doing that now.
Yeah.
Not to
and
think
you do
about
it in a positive manner rather than blaming your husband for not treating you. You just start acting like an equal partner. And
But it comes to communication.
Yeah.
You know, when people get so used to each other, they become stale. They no longer need to say anything. And this saying that someone will tell you, but I know what he's thinking. I know what he's going to say.
I've heard women say that.
Okay, so how do you guess that? Okay, what is he thinking now? This is, you know, people grow. Over years, we grow. And over years, our ideals change. Because we had matured mentally. So ideals always change. So people change.
Yeah.
How can you say from 20 years, you know, to now that you can still read? Yeah, of course you can read your person. I can read my husband.
Yeah.
You know, but you can't always, you know, 24 hours a day realize what he's thinking because you can't. It's impossible.
Yeah.
So communication is key. Constant communication.
Amen.
And I would like to give a tip to women that I've learned worked very well for me.
Yeah.
When the man come from work, you do not want to discuss the problems and the frustration that he's faced at work. You want to come home to a better environment. So provide a better environment.
Yeah.
Change things at home. Change things about yourself. Color your hair.
Yeah.
Start dressing differently. Let the husband notice that something has changed in you. When he disagree or you disagree with something about a discussion you have or about anything he says or you says, refrain, lower your voice. Women don't understand this tone of voice because a relationship is not a competition.
No.
Because if your voice is louder than your husband's, and as a woman, most women in the Western world do not understand submission. They think submission is giving up control. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. It's simple things like lowering your tone of voice. Because if I have a disagreement with my husband and I drop my tone of voice, he automatically calms down because I'm not screaming.
That's such a good
but
point.
But the louder he scream and the louder you scream back, it's no longer communication. It's a competition of who's screaming the loudest.
Yeah, that's true. So many people, when they get in a conversation, they don't really listen to what their partner is saying. They just want to prove their own point, and that's very ineffective communication when neither party is willing to give an inch
and
listen to the other.
Because it's not communication. Communication is talking.
Yeah.
Communication is solving. You know, really, it's like driving a car and you both want to go in different directions. How's that possible?
Yeah. Two steering wheels.
Yes. There's zero. There's no direction of where you're going to go.
Yeah.
So it's seriously, it's tone of voice. Calm your voice and you'll get somewhere. And it becomes so much easier to talk. And women have to initiate communication. Because sometimes I think, oh, my husband doesn't want to talk. How do you know he doesn't want to talk?
Yeah.
How do you know? If you ask things in a nice manner, if you say things in a nice manner, but if you're going to scream things at him, of course he's not going to respond. He's going to walk away.
Yeah. Well, in the brief time remaining, tell us a little bit about your recent books, Chasing Charlotte and Memories of the Heart. What kind of message do you give in those books to people that, you know, maybe are not living the ideal life that they want in a relationship?
Catching Charlotte is the dramatic read of overcoming, dealing with past and overcome, realizing that you've grown and can become a better individual, but most of all, that you have the ability to love, that you deserve love. It's a passionate love story of dramatic drama overcoming life and growing from there, realizing how deserving of love we are as individuals and how important family structure is. Because at the end of the day, you know, the world is in chaos.
Yeah.
But if we have a structured family life, grow and encourage and inspire someone else. And families make strong societies, and strong societies make strong nations. That's where we bridge things, where we tolerate and we learn. If we have love at home, if we are compassionate with each other at home, we are more able to be compassionate with someone else outside.
That's
how we evolve in spreading things from our home outside.
Yeah.
So that is a love story of an individual capturing their sense of where they want to be in life.
Yeah.
Because we can overcome bad. I did.
Yeah, so it's basically a story with a strong message then is what you're saying.
Yes, because I found love. I celebrate it with memories of the heart. I celebrate it. It's my emotions on my sleeve. I dream. I feel the beauty of our life really is. I have become passionate. I've become warm. I've become giving. I've really sense of spirituality, of knowing the balance of life, of love, of body, of mind, and seriously knowing how to give to my partner. And
yeah,
how
Memories
much
of the Heart is a book of poetry, right?
It's poems. It is all inspiring, life-inspiring poems. It is funny. It is love. It is sensuous. It's dramatic. It's serious. It's kind of crazy sometimes. It's my emotions out there.
Yeah.
It's just my emotions. Because when I wrote the poetry book, it's how I felt about everything.
Yeah.
About everything. I just wanted to celebrate that I had survived.
Yeah.
I had survived. And the poetry book is what Memories of the Heart is my giving back. That's the book I'm going to use in my career to be able to give back. So I donate the funds.
Yeah.
So every single fund that will come in between now and the future, I will give to charity. So that is my emotions on my sleeve that I want to share with every woman out there. I survived. I was you. I was you.
Yeah.
So I want you to know that I survived. So can you. I found love. I'm in a passionate, loving relationship.
Yeah.
And sometimes I really, really look at my husband and I ask myself, how I was so angry. Yeah. How did I get this man? But it's because I decided I was deserving.
Yeah.
I was better than that. And I have so much more to give.
Yeah.
That's the decision I made.
So that's such a concise definition of what people need to do to accept themselves and determine what they really want out of a relationship. And then they're so more likely to find that relationship when they know just what they're looking for. But well, give us your website where we can learn more about you and preview your books. Where should they go to find out more?
My website is www.princessromay.com, and it's R-O-M-A-Y, princessromay.com.
Yeah, you're a princess in that website.
My husband calls me princess.
Oh,
my husband has dubbed me princess.
Yeah. Well,
so my website is princessromay.com.
Yeah, that's great. Tell us, I noticed you have some membership offers on your website, silver, gold, and platinum. What benefits do members receive when they sign up for those?
For the membership is coaching, so that I can do one-on-one. I can do one-on-one coaching because I have very many women that respond to books of mine they read.
Yeah.
With Love Triangle, for example, I had hundreds and hundreds of women that started telling me, "You've changed my life. You've changed my life."
Yeah.
And I thought, how?
Yeah.
You know, and it's from there, it stemmed that I realized that I had a message of sharing my life with women because I've been exactly where they are, so
yeah.
I can relate to how they feel.
Yeah.
Because I had so many women that responded to the fact that I've revived their passion. I made them realize that you are alive, that you're beautiful, that you are giving, and that you have so much that you can share. Relax. And in the books, it's vivid. I take you on a dream drive.
Yeah.
I have so much energy, so I share it and I take you there. Every scenario in Catching Charlotte, for example, the story is from South Africa. And it came from South Africa to Sweden, to Finland, and the life and the excitement. It takes you every single place that you relate.
Yeah.
That you relate.
Great. So that you not only can, she has several books on that website you can find out about, and you can also go to Amazon.com. I noticed they're on there, or probably BarnesandNoble.com.
They're all available on there, yeah. So if you go to my website, it will take you straight to links where they can find the books. And,
well, Roma,
you know, Roy?
Yeah.
Roy, all I really want to share with women, one last point is, don't think less of yourself, because this is a new beginning and it's really a time for awakening to realize that you can be a better, more confident you, because you know, the past doesn't matter anymore.
No, it doesn't.
Just painful endings. So not to dwell on the past and live life. Realize the strengths, because you have that within yourself.
Well, Rome has given you ladies a number of solid reasons why you don't need to give up on passion, romance, and a genuine soulmate for life relationship. And maybe with your present husband, or if you're unattached now with someone you haven't met yet, but who is just around the corner, and it doesn't matter if someone abandoned or disrespected you in the past, as Rome puts it in one of her blogs, whoever left you wasn't right for you, and I think that's such a good point. But before you seek to restore or strengthen your marriage or get back into the dating game, please make certain you know who you are, what you want, and what you need. And as Rome succinctly explains, a worthy relationship goal is to be in love, or be the love of someone worthy of you. And I think that puts it so right. And in turn, I'm sure you'll receive the kind of love that's right for you. And the result is a genuine, lifelong soulmate kind of relationship. And that's what all you ladies deserve and I'm sure want out of life ultimately. And thanks a million, Princess Rome, for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me, Roy. Absolutely.
And best of success in getting your message out, because it's highly needed in these days and times. And thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's spring and prom season. Is your teenage son or daughter about to attend a prom? Most of our teenagers love prom night. It's an experience hopefully they'll cherish for years to come. But as we all know, there's a darker side. I don't know about you, but more than once I've seen tragic headlines in our local paper. Four teens killed in tragic after prom car crash, alcohol a factor. Headlines like that. And can you imagine the tragedy of losing a son or daughter right on the cusp of adulthood because of one foolish night of excess? And of course, we also want our sons and daughters to avoid unwanted teen pregnancies, sexually transmitted disease, and teenage arrests for drug use or intoxication. And we don't want to deprive our teenagers of prom night fun, but our primary responsibility as parents is to ensure their safety. And no matter how responsible, you can almost bet that sometime during the night your son or daughter will face peer pressure to try something new and risky. And if we warn our teens before prom night, will they listen? Well, my next guest, therapist Roxander Hodge, is here to suggest, as responsible parents, how we can guide our almost adult offspring to have fun while they remain safe on prom night. And Roxander Hodge is a trusted psychotherapist, advisor, and founder of Roxander Hodge Consulting. She works extensively with individuals, couples, families, adults, and children, and organizations to improve self-understanding, relationships, and communication skills at work. And she's author of the new book, A Therapist Insider's Guide on Relationships, Healing the Past. And hello, Roxanne, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Well, thanks a lot for having me.
Well, as our teenage sons and daughters eagerly prepare for prom night, how should we counsel them so that our advice doesn't go in one ear and out the other? Should we speak openly with them about drinking, safety, and sex?
Well, absolutely. And I think as parents, what we have to do is ensure that they're not looking at us coming at them from an authoritarian perspective.
Oh, yeah.
But more to bring it up when you're having, you know, casual time with them.
Yeah.
As an open to a conversation where you're telling them some of the things that might possibly be out there.
Yeah.
I think oftentimes at this particular stage, they become defensive because they oftentimes don't believe that we understand.
Yeah, we never do.
What does mom or dad know? They can't relate to what's out there and what might be a concern. So I think a platform that I often say for parents is to, talk to them generally about things often and not when you have a real concern for their safety. So I think bringing up things about, drinking, which obviously there's a lot of pressure to have a lot of drinks, not even a drink, but sometimes, unfortunate that they may have more. And if they've never really drank before, that's a real concern, especially on a night like prom night where there's a lot of people drinking maybe a lot more than they need to that night.
Yes, that's for sure. I suppose storytelling would be a good idea. Like if you had personal experience or knew somebody that lost a teenage son or daughter through an accident or, some teenager got in trouble, if you don't relate it directly to your own son or daughter, but you tell about somebody else, does that work sometimes?
I think so, because, oftentimes when it comes from, our own experience, their back goes up immediately because this is mom or dad trying to tell them what to do. So I think if you come from the space of caution in that, I think, starting off with saying to them, look, we've all been there. We've all been to our proms. It was a great night. It was a great build up. We all wanted to go out and have fun, with our dates and our friends.
Yeah.
However, the caveat might be a story that you know of, or I think something closer to home sometimes oftentimes makes them think, wow, maybe it is something I should consider and that you're not trying to put fear into them.
Yeah.
The open two-way conversation, I think, is often what we find best, especially with teenagers, where you say to them, this is what I'm thinking, but kind of what are you thinking? Is there something that I'm not understanding? Because that collaborative element of open communication, I think, is oftentimes where I get the most information from my teenager.
Yeah, if there's only some way that you can convince your son or daughter that having fun on their own terms and overcoming peer pressure is the absolute best prom memory you can give yourself. If you, set some objectives of what you're not going to do in advance and stick by those objectives, I would think that would build a happier memory than giving in and doing something that obviously you're sorry for later.
Absolutely, because, this is, it's supposed to be a fun night. They've worked hard. They're starting into a whole new stage of their life. And, they're going off maybe to, college, university relatively soon, where then they're not tethered by, being close to home.
Yeah.
So I think, what I often say is allowing them to think, out loud without feeling that there would be any repercussions for what they're sharing with you, I think becomes very, very important. And sometimes you might have to, bite your lip a bit and peel back. But I think oftentimes when you're able to create that space where they see the openness and the willingness of you to listen and not react in a way that would shut them down, I think that allows them, that open voice, which is what you really need to stay connected to with your teens.
Yeah. Here's a kind of an out in left field question, but should you attempt to contact parents of your teen's prom date or of other kids that you know that they're going to associate with, they'll be hanging out with? And if you do contact the other parent, what do you suggest you say to break the ice? I don't know if that's
that would be a tough one.
Yeah.
It would be a tough one if you had to do it. I would say, you'd really have to think through that phone call because you're impacting kind of your relationship with your teen.
Yeah.
So I think it would be more casual if you were to run into them, that you'd talk about, you're hoping that they're all going to have fun and that you kind of know, who's going to be the driver, those types of things.
I think you'd
be cautious, definitely, as you have those conversations, because what you don't want your teenager to believe is that somehow you're trying to steer the night and take away their control over what their prom should be like.
Last thing. I know the parents often sponsor pre-prom parties, but after the prom's over, I don't know if it's realistic to have like a post-prom activity that the parents get involved in or not. Do you find that works or is that?
Well, I haven't heard of many. Maybe you have. oftentimes what I find is that there are huge parties after the fact where, there's a lot of things going on, obvious overuse of alcohol, that, they rent, bunches of hotel rooms, those types of things.
Yeah.
So again, I go back to some basics around safety that you should discuss around, not putting down your drink, checking your drink if it's left and you walk away, who are you with, and, let's talk a bit about a backup plan should you're, feeling unsafe in any way.
Yeah.
Can you text? Who can you text? Who are you around?
Oh, yeah.
And knowing that they can call home at any point or connect with someone that's an adult should they need to come home.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with talking to your teen about that, I wouldn't think, because it's always nice for them to know that there's a backup or there's a safety system in place so that if they do have a problem, they can get in touch with you or, you're not trying to tell them what to do, but you're just there if they need you. That's a great
Absolutely.
Idea.
And I think, your reaction to if it's something does come up, what I would say is, even if you may have to deal with something that you're thinking, oh, my goodness, this is what I was hoping to stay away from, the fact that they're reaching out is showing you that you have a good relationship and that they would come to you in the future when they're far away from you, maybe across the country, out of, a little bit further away from you than so that the fact that they would reach out is a good thing.
They're 18 years old, you're not, or 17 or 18 or whatever, you're not going to have those apron strings tied around them for much
longer. Even though some of us have difficulties with it, absolutely. Being able to let them know that there's a lot of pressures out there, and there's pressures to have, sex too early, there's pressures to, drink or try things that they should not, and that you really want them to really think through the implications of their actions.
Yeah.
and know that even sometimes they may make a poor choice, but to ask them the question, and I often say this with teenagers, what kind of things could you have learned from this situation, and what kind of things do you maybe kind of not want to repeat in the future, and what kind of things would you like to do more of should something like this come up again?
Yeah. Well, let's talk briefly about your new book, A Therapist Insider's Guide on Relationships. Who's the target audience, and what's the primary message that you want a reader to take away from your book?
Well, my target audience is women, because women at this point, that we know, we go forward a little bit sooner for help. So I think just to talk about relationships, and because we often go back to the family, maybe to our, you know, our husbands or our children, and open up the conversation about what it is to be healthy in relationships. So I've been a psychotherapist for over 20 years. So what I did was I analyzed my own life I was behind a closed therapy door and looked at my life from beginning all the way up to adulthood after a 25-year marriage ended. Looked at some of my choices and based on some of the things that I had been through as a young child all the way up developmentally into my teen years, and some of the things that I ignored, because I wanted people to really recognize that, you know, sometimes we need to kind of stop and think about some of the choices that we're making if it's kind of out of line with our values.
Yeah, I think if you understand why you did something, and even if you go all the way back to childhood and recognize that, when you understand the whys, it's much easier to address the problem that you may have, or the depression or whatever you're experiencing now, or your rough relationships or whatever, if you understand where it's coming from and why you were, as you talk about your environment that you had as a child, and it's fascinating to go back and do that, and it's an important message, I would think.
Right, and I think oftentimes it's not a limitation, but it's really about reflecting, recognizing what worked, why it worked. Maybe sometimes you make choices when you're younger that are a little bit developmentally skewed. And then as you become into your, middle years, you start to address things that no longer fit and that maybe need to be adjusted a bit. But that takes a deep level of courageousness to be able to really sit and say, what is working for me? What role did I play in maintaining this? And now as a, a middle-stage adult, what changes do I need to make to ensure that I'm living the kind of life that I want now?
Where should we go to preview and purchase your book?
Well, you can go to my website. My website is RoxanneDurhodge.com, and you can also get the book on Amazon, which is has been available since October.
Yeah, and how do you spell that name, just so somebody will know how to find it?
Sure, it's RoxanneDurhodge.
Yeah, just go to RoxanneDurhodge.com, and you can preview the book there or find out more about Roxanne's background. Well, in conclusion, whether or not your teenage son will be attending a prom this spring, perhaps they already have. I know around here some of the proms are already passed. But Roxanne's advice today makes sense as our teens transition to adulthood. And any time they venture out on their own initiative, communicate with your teen. I trust you. I know you will take personal responsibility, set your own standards, and define for yourself who you are and what matters most to you. Then during prom night this spring, or at that fraternity or sorority party in college next fall, before you take that drink or go all the way without protection, you'll ask yourself if that action is consistent with your internal standards and goals in life. And given the potential negative consequences, is this really worth the risk to myself or to another? And over the past 17 to 18 years, I'm sure you've done your best to demonstrate love and guide your offspring through childhood and adolescence, and it's time to turn the primary responsibility over to them. And you know you are now their loving coach and senior advisor, and the prom is one of your teen's first big games, as I like to call it, as a near adult. And your message to your teenage son or daughter, have fun on your own terms, and by remaining safe and firmly in control, you'll have the time of your life thus far and will build positive memories to last a lifetime, and you'll be practicing for the future when you're out on your own. And thank you, Roxanne Hodge, for your sage advice, and best of success on the sale of your book, A Therapist Insider's Guide on Relationships.
Thank you for having me.
And tune in next week when we'll ponder the question, how can you stay married if you no longer feel like you're in love? And I'll talk to you then. And remember, middle age can be your best age. Goodbye for now.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.